You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 30. It's team selection time as Mark, the FPL General, reveals his thoughts and plans for the upcoming Game Week 30, which is after the international break, which we're currently in. My name is Joe. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. I'm good. Life's good, FPL-wise. What a bloody weekend we had. Myself and yourself have been playing this game for a very long time. And I certainly don't remember a game week as bad where I would say 95% of managers got absolutely nothing. So, yeah, looking forward to moving on quickly to game week 30. Business end of the season now when we start getting into the 30s.
Okay, my phone's ringing at the moment and it's a semi-urgent call, but I'll do it after we've done the stream. It's about my car hopefully being fixed soon. Okay, we will plough on. Yeah, I've been quite busy every weekend. I was talking to Mark a bit before, so I haven't really looked at FPL, but I did know that my team did really badly. I got 16 points. I would have got 10 points if I hadn't have used my free hit. So my free hit was worth 6 points. At least it was worth something. At least I didn't. I've had free hits before where I've got rid of players on it and ended up worse off. So I consider that a minor victory. But you have your free hit still to play, and I don't. So that would put you at an advantage over people like me.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I've been taking a lot of hits recently. I think I've taken hits in the last five game weeks. I think a total to minus 28. Yeah. So obviously I need to try and make that back. But I was obviously happy not to be punished by free hitters. I mean, I had a terrible game week as well. I took a minus 8 and I got 11 blanks. So I think it was 21 minus 8. I'm not even going to try and figure out what that sum is. Okay. But yeah, I've still got the wild card, still got the free hit and still got the bench boost. So yes. Hopefully a good end to the season.
Yes. So going to have to muddle through without a free hit. But I think we can. We've got some doubles coming up. Game week 34, possibly 35 as well. And then also game week 37, which should be a much bigger one. So hopefully I can use my wild card around that as well. Just before we move on, just a reminder, everyone do press that like button. It really helps us out. And do subscribe as well. And I can tell people can see and hear us in the live chat because someone's Cyrus is in the live chat wondering if it's my Ferrari in the garage. No, that's completely fine. It's the Porsche. Okay. It's not. It's the Ford Fiesta. Okay, let's have a look at your current game week before we have a look at the season ticket. So this is, here we go. So it's 21 points, but a minus 8, this is 13. So do you want to run us through your team? Because it's similar to a lot of free hit teams anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to run through this, but I will if you insist. I mean, I think it's a massive achievement to get 11 blankers. I think it's almost impossible to do so. So I'm taking that as a win. And again, the main thing for me is, again, we often say it's a good week to have a bad week because not many people had very good weeks, if if anyone, you know, a very small percentage. Mm. So took the minus eight, was Solanke to Tony was my free transfer in my mind, at least. And then I took a minus eight to get Kudus and Jared Bowen. Mm. And again, very frustrating game to watch. Bowen was close to points. Mm. Kudus had a goal ruled out. What could have been? The Tottenham triple up, which done well for a couple of weeks previously, flopped with Son captain. The Luton boys did nothing. And, you know, everyone blanked. Areola, very close to getting an Areola clean sheet, which mm-hmm. was going to put me on a green arrow. Mm-hmm. You know, 6 or 7 points would have been pretty big in that game week. But unfortunately, no clean sheets in the game week, as was expected from my defenders and the goalkeeper. So we swiftly move on.
Mm. Yeah, I'm thinking, why have I got 16 points? I guess I must have had someone do something. Maybe no one did anything. I got no, all of mine blanked as well. Mine was broadly similar to this. I think I must have just got a couple of 2 points where you got a 1 point, that kind of thing. But
yeah, and it's probably the head factor as well on my side.
Oh, that'll be it. Yeah, that'll be it. So, I had Reggie on. So that was a nice -3, I think it was, because once a player gets sent off and that team continues to concede, they just keep losing the points. They carry on. It's the gift that keeps on giving, that red card.
When he got sent off, I was feeling a bit smug. You know, I was thinking, right, here we go.
Yeah.
Free hitters are in trouble already. This is an opportunity for me. But of course, did not capitalize with all the blanks.
Yeah. No, so pretty bad for most people. I think if you got one of those differential forwards in, like Munez at Fulham, Fofana, Chris Wood, for example, you would have had an okay game week because you would have got all the blankers, but plus you would have got that. So you would have had that sort of an extra 10 points or so, which would have been enough for a green arrow this week. But yeah, it still wouldn't have been great. You expect much more from a free hit and it didn't deliver. So those that use it in a big double game week, I'm going to go on a limb here, are going to be an advantage.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I think back to previous seasons and I've had some joy in double game weeks with the free hit. So yeah, hopefully. I mean, nothing's guaranteed in FPL, but mm-hmm. it does feel good to have it. And if nothing else, it's going to make a double game week a bit more exciting, being able to, you know, pick a new team for it. So yeah, hopefully it works out well.
Yep, definitely. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at the season ticker just to get Mark's thoughts together and help you as well, watching and listening as well. We'll also be looking at Mark's wildcard team. So many of you will be maybe wildcarding. You might be thinking, well, what players should we get in to try and get a march on these wildcarders? And in particular, Mark is keen to come up with some decisions around the forwards. Lots of choice. So three slots up for grab, and I've got a table, so hopefully that will help as well. But let's have a look at the season ticker first. This shows I've done it up to game week 33, so next 4 game weeks, and I've cut out game week 34. I haven't done that yet because we don't know what's going to happen there. I saw a post from, I think, James at Planet FBL saying, I think he's listing a number of teams like Wolves and Bournemouth and Liverpool that could double in game week 34. And he was saying they could all double, or they could all not. And there's a mixture. There will be some blanks as well because there will be FA Cup involvement, but that won't necessarily mean that teams will blank because there'll be rearranged fixtures that could go in there. So they'll essentially have like a normal single, just a different game. So basically it's up in the air. There's no point us putting on here. It's too many permutations. So next 4, Chelsea, absolute top. Burnley, Manchester United at home, Sheffield United away, Everton at home. Great run of fixtures. Bournemouth, good run of fixtures already. People loaded up on them for the double gaming. Everton, Crystal Palace at home, Manchester United at home, Luton away. Fulham good as well. Sheffield United and Nottingham Forest away coming up next. And then Newcastle at home, West Ham away. They are better at home, but they are a form team at the moment. Liverpool doing very good for the next four, really. Brighton, Sheffield United. They'll want to get their own back on Manchester United in the game week 32. And then in Crystal Palace at home in 33. Meanwhile, a bit lower down, Aston Villa, poor fixtures. They've got City and Arsenal in amongst that. Luton, terrible. Arsenal and City as well. Crystal Palace are okay the next two. Then it gets a bit poor with City and Liverpool, 32 and 33. Brighton, poor. Arsenal have got City, but then they do have Luton and Brighton and Aston Villa. So I expect them to shoot up the table. Man City themselves have Arsenal. But obviously, game week 31, it gets better for the likes of Haaland. Bearing all that in mind, what thoughts does this give you on your wild card? Which teams you need to target? Which teams you need to avoid?
Yeah, so fixtures are probably the main driving factor behind wildcard activation this week. I know a lot of people are holding off for a Game Week 31 wildcard or maybe even later. And I know part of it is in Game Week 31, you should definitely have the fixture information. There's still a chance we get it during this two-week break. I'm kind of relaxed whether I do or I don't. I kind of want to just play the season my way for the rest of the season. I was taking a lot of hits, bringing in players that I don't really want long-term, you know, double West Ham midfield, Ivan Toney. I've got three Luton players. So there's a lot of deadwood now that I want to refresh. And I want to do it in Game Week 30 because I think there's a lot of targetable fixtures. Mm-hmm. And again, just looking at this fixture ticker, Chelsea at the top, I don't have anyone. Mm-hmm. Bournemouth, I just sold Solanke, so I could get him back. Fulham, I really like Maniz, don't have him yet. And Liverpool are fourth on the ticker, and I also have zero. Mm. So straight away, I'm looking at this, and I think, right, this is a good week for my team because I'm lacking quite a few picks that have a nice run of fixtures ahead. So yeah, fixtures, the main driving force. I want to try and get a march on the Game Week 31 wildcarders by having a good Game Week 30, mm-hmm. and hopefully that will pay off. And yeah, the free hit's still available as well, so I don't need to worry as much about fixture announcements and stuff like that, because let's say we don't get information before the Game Week 30 deadline, I'll just kind of, you know, play towards a Game Week 34 free hit and then figure out, you know, the rest of the season after that. So I'm quite easy going in terms of the rest of the season. My rank is about, I think it's about 95K. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of open to being a bit more aggressive than maybe I would usually. And that's partly another reason why I've gone a week earlier than others.
Okay. So like those others watching and listening who aren't free hitting, you aren't wildcarding at the moment. When someone, especially someone like you, Mark, says they're wildcarding, that puts the fear of God in me, thinking, oh my God, template's about to change. How badly am I for that? And I just had a quick look at my team because I haven't really looked at it this weekend. And I'm okay, I think. And I think a lot of people will be in this position. So I've got Palmer already in place. So it makes me think, oh, maybe someone like Gusto or Jackson could be good. I've got Zabania and Solanke, so that's Bournemouth covered. Muniz at Fulham, yes, that's not a player I do have. And I have no Liverpool, but I have a Salah plan. So Salah will be in Game Week 30, so that's fine. So I don't feel too vulnerable, personally, with those key players in. A bit of Bournemouth, Palmer, Salah, that doesn't make me feel as bad. But yes, it's some of those other players as well. Newcastle, for example, West Ham, Everton at home, pretty good next two. I'll be without them, Fulham and then Tottenham. So these are pretty good for their attackers. So yeah, I am a bit short for this.
Yeah, and I was going to mention Newcastle as well. I know they're about halfway down the fixture ticker here, but for someone wildcarding in Game Week 30 and who may free hit in 34, Newcastle are quite attractive because they look good for the next four with West Ham, Everton, Fulham, Tottenham. Then you possibly free hit them out in 34. And then I think it's two promoted teams, 35 and 36. So good long-term picks. Mm. So players like Isak, Anthony Gordon, and maybe a defender have, you know, very good chance of being in my wildcard squad. So again, Newcastle are another factor of maybe going a week earlier, getting the home fixture against West Ham and hopefully benefiting from that.
Okay. So before we look at your wildcard bus team, I've got a table about forwards. So this will help your decision making, I hope. This is the last six matches they have played. So that counts out because we've got so many doubles and blanks. It's impossible to do the last six game weeks because you can't compare. It's like comparing apples and pears. Best forwards, Game Week 30, last six matches. I've sorted by minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty. And it's and also I put in their fixtures there. I've highlighted Darwin Nunez at the top. Haaland is next and Muniz is after him. They're 1, 2, 3 in this. And quite handily, I've highlighted them as well because Nunez arguably is the best of the sort of mid-price forwards. Haaland, the best of the top-price premium forwards. Not many this season, if any. and Munez best of the bargains as well. So I'll just read out the stats and I'll get your views on those three, and then we'll go through some of those others. So Darwin Núñez, 3 goals and a couple of assists, minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty. Every 86.7 minutes, pretty much a goal involvement a match. Next fixtures, Brighton at home, Sheffield United at home, Manchester United away. Great set of fixtures. And he's underperforming, as you would expect. And he's created 5 chances as well. Haaland, 4 goals and an assist. Pretty good. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty. Every 91 minutes, pretty much goal involvement a game. Next fixture's a bit trickier. Arsenal, but then it's got Aston Villa at home and Crystal Palace away. And then Munez next. 4.6 million. Hardly anything. 6 goals and an assist. So apologies those listening on a podcast. I might have woken you up or something and shaken you there. But I say 6 goals. Wow. Of 6 starts. 4.6. I can't get over how good that is. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, every 112 minutes. He's got Sheffield United away, Nottingham Forest away, Newcastle at home. Yeah, arguably, just have these three.
That's the problem. I think the biggest headache on the wild card is going to be which 3 strikers do you go for? Because straight away, these top three, I really like all of them. Mm. But I think there's probably 6 players on this list that I want to own, and I'm going to have to, you know, only pick 50% of those. That's if I go 3-4-3 and not 3-5-2. So I think it's very early days in my... I'm not even tinkering yet. I'm just kind of thinkering rather than tinkering, because there's no point doing too much yet. Erling Haaland left my team a couple of game weeks back. He's got Arsenal next. Mm. And I'm wondering, looking at the prices on this list, you know, can you go without Haaland for even a short period? Mm. And what it will come down to for me is captaincy. You know, what I'm going to do over the next couple of days is make a captaincy matrix for the rest of the season and see how strong the captaincy candidates are each game week that are not named Erling Haaland. Mm. And if I can come up with a confident captaincy matrix that doesn't have Erling Haaland, it might allow me to, you know, just play slightly differently, get 3 cheaper strikers, and there's a lot of expensive midfielders. There's Salah, there's Son, Saka, there's Foden. So a lot of money is needed for midfielders. And I think no matter what I do on a wild card, I'm going to have to make a sacrifice somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, do I sacrifice the most expensive of all and try and get bang for my buck elsewhere? Obviously a risky strategy, given his ownership and the player that he is. But that's just my very early thoughts. On the other three, on the other two at the top, you know, one of the big factors for wildcarding is Liverpool to get Brighton and Sheffield United in the next 2 games. I really want to have Salah and Darwin for that one. Mm. I think there was a few comments from Klopp today about Luis Diaz and Darwin possibly having a couple of niggles from the FA Cup game, but to me that's probably international break injuries more than anything else. And then Muniz is only 4.6. It just feels like the easiest of all wildcard picks because of his price. And it's not just his price. He is very, very good. Mm. And again, it's another factor in the Game Week 30 wildcard, because if I pick him, I'm playing him against Sheffield United. He will not be on the bench, but he could be an 8th attacker, but I think he could end up being a 7th attacker. I think he's that good. And I think we need to take him seriously and not, you know, get, you know, fall into the trap of he's only 4.6, he's for the bench. So top three, it's going to be very hard to go anywhere else. But there is other very attractive names on this list.
Okay, so I mean, a couple of things. So once again, I'll refer to my team just in terms of, because it's very similar to non-wildcard teams. So I've got Haaland, Solanke and Watkins. So that's probably what you're up against there. Haaland, obviously, but he's got that tough fixture. So you can probably rest easy with that one. But then in game week 31, Haaland becomes an issue. Solanke, yeah, I mean, I've owned Solanke every now and again. He has got good fixtures. He's got Everton and Crystal Palace at home and then Luton away. So they are very good fixtures. But sometimes he might go missing in some of those games from an FPL point of view. He's not a player when I've not owned, I've been scared of. Watkins, I have been, but he doesn't have the fixtures on his side. So he does have that Wolves fixture. So he will be a miss for that. But then Man City away and then Brentford at home doesn't scream Watkins Hall. But so I think you could do without. But Haaland, I noticed in the live chat, FPL Chai's here. He's in the top 100 And he, I spoke to him on a video a while ago, and one of his big things is he hasn't had Haaland for a lot of this season. A lot of the first part of the season just didn't have Haaland, and he's in the top 100. So he's doing something right. And he was, I think he was like 10th or something, 9th at that stage. So yeah, I probably helped a bit with that Haaland decision.
Yeah, I think I've been trying to reflect on this myself, that I think those of us, you know, FPL managers, at least myself anyway, I just automatically pick Haaland and I don't even think about it. I just kind of bow to him as an incredible player who can score a hat-trick in any given game week. But you have to factor in his price, and you can get two players for the price of an Erling Haaland. And again, it comes back to captaincy for me. How brave am I to go against him in game weeks where he will be the most captained player? I will need to have a very, very good alternative. But again, just thinking of game week 30, which is ahead of us, someone like a Cole Palmer at home to Burnley, you know, I'd be quite confident in doing that. So part of me is thinking as well, I'm going to put a captaincy matrix together, and I might go for a kind of a different captaincy strategy than I usually would, which is quite simply attack those three worst teams in the league. Yeah. So every week, captain a player against those teams. And I'll need to see where Haaland fits into that, of course. But yeah, again, it just shows you can be in the top 100 in the world and not own the most expensive player in the game, because not having 14.3 tied up in him gives you a lot of flexibility and freedom elsewhere. Yeah. You just got to make sure your alternative picks are good scorers. So yeah, it's something I want to think about for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, looking at captaincy, you've seen getting a captaincy matrix together. I mean, game week 30, it's not Haaland. it's Salah at home to Brighton, you would say, is in the driving seat there. But if you don't have Salah, Son at home to Luton is another strong pick there. Game week 31, Saka at home to Luton. Salah again at home to Sheffield United. You could even go for a differential, you know, some kind of differential picks, really. Maybe Fulham, maybe Munez could be a captaincy away to Nottingham Forest. Someone in the live chat was saying, I think it's Belzeru was saying, Munez will surely regress. And he's looking at these figures here. Yes, it does look like he will, because he's overperforming by nearly 3 goals in terms of expected goal involvement delta. But we've seen this sort of thing before. Perhaps he is that good. Perhaps the stats. I mean, I've seen Son overperforming at this stage, you know, over 6 matches by, you know, 3-4 goals, 3-4 goal involvements. Doesn't matter. If they're accurate and good, they can overperform all they like.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a small sample size, but, you know, I think back, we had a Harry Kane at 4.5 million. You know, and he was doing this kind of thing. I'm not saying Muniz is going to be the next Harry Kane, but what I've seen of him so far, I really like. And I think he's a top quality player. And Fulham are a team that just tend to go out and score goals, you know, regardless of opponent. And it's fixtures as well. You know, you get him this week, you can play him against Sheffield United and Luton. Then maybe you might want to bench him for a couple of weeks, Newcastle, West Ham, Liverpool. But again, I'd be quite happy to play him in any of those games. And then after that, you've got Palace home, Brentford away, and Luton on the final day of the season. So I quite like it. And it's gonna take a lot for me not to pick Muniz, because number one, he's great. And number two, he enables all the midfield picks. So whether it's just a question of, will he be someone I rely on often in my starting 11, or will he become a bench pick most weeks?
Another name, similar price, Chris Wood, 4.8, 5 goals, 6 starts. Awoniyi is injured long-term. I think Chris Wood went off early in that game, but I don't know the extent whether that was injury or fatigue related. But he is another player to put in that mix as well, with very strong fixtures. Crystal Palace and Fulham at home, Tottenham away and Wolves at home. From an attacking point of view, very good. And if it looks nailed on, would you consider him perhaps? I suppose he's a get out if Muniz does indeed overperform.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay. Yeah, an escape route, I guess. Muniz is definitely the cheapest, you know, the cheap forward that I like most. There's no competition for me when it's Wood versus Muniz at the moment. But it's good to have someone there that you can jump to if need be. The I just don't have much faith in Forrest in terms of goal scoring. And we have seen on occasion Nuno play without a recognised striker, so that can happen from time to time as well. So I was slightly concerned about Chris Wood's fitness as well. Yeah. So, I mean, he's fine as a in his own right, as we've seen, getting some points in the most recent game week, but I think there's, you know, six or seven better forwards than him, at least.
Next two names, the ones I've already mentioned about Watkins and Solanke, I was saying that even though Solanke has the fixtures, Watkins doesn't have the fixtures, arguably the form, over a longer period, and they both got the form as well. They're players that I'm happy to own, but I'm not scared of not owning. Is that how you sort of feel about them?
Yeah, and I want to play the rest of the season without fear. I've had Ollie Watkins for most of the season, and I'm kind of glad in a way that I sold him a few weeks ago and brought him back in, because now I'm not held hostage by team value. You know, I don't have any tied up in him anymore. I've kind of let those shackles go. Solanke, I just sold in 29. And again, of course, I'm open to going back there. But again, if I want to play a bit more aggressively and, you know, try shoot up the rankings, you know, maybe quicker than I would previously, given that the game weeks are starting to run out, then it just, I feel more excited going for, you know, the lower owned players, your Darwin Nunez, your Muniz and these players. And Watkins, of course, doesn't have the fixtures, but it's very hard. It's very hard to go without Watkins and Solanke because they are just having such good seasons. You know, two players I rate very highly, but again, I feel like my inner late riser is starting to slowly emerge. So so maybe I'd be brave.
Okay, yeah. Watkins, 5 goals and an assist, of 6 attacking returns his last 6 matches. Solanke, 2 goals, 2 assists as well, so a bit less there, but very strong underlying stats, minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 127 minutes for those two. So almost a goal involvement a game, which is what we're seeing from them at the moment, almost a goal involvement a game, sometimes many more. Hoyland's next. Say you're a Manchester United fan. Tempted by Hoyland? 7 million?
He's in the conversation, but when I think of Manchester United attackers, FPL-wise, Garnacho is just so cheap, and I'm not sure I want to double up. Maybe I'll double up or triple up when there's a double game week, but you know that might be a free hit week, so I don't need to worry too much about that. So again, I like Hoyland a lot. Again, I'm always a bit wary of players coming back from injury. And again, I just don't think he's in the top 3 forwards in FPL at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's worth pointing out that he's pretty much the best in here because he's got 7 goals in 6 starts and 2 assists. That's 9 attacking returns. Understandably, he's overperforming. He's overperforming by a little over 5 goal involvements there. So, yeah, 9 attacking returns. So he pretty much should be a sort of a 4 goal involvement player over 6 matches, which is probably what he would be, really. So he has been overperforming. Brentford and Chelsea away, then Liverpool. So mixed fixtures as well. Jackson's the next name. Much maligned, but can get a hat-trick and has been getting on the score sheet as well. Cemented in the side, 2 goals, 2 assists. Burnley, Manchester United and Sheffield United up next for him. Marginally been overpointed just by 1 goal involvement. Yeah, I mean, I guess Chelsea double game weeks when you start thinking about Jackson, but you're not thinking about him at the moment.
Yeah, I don't feel like he's a player I would want to kind of hold longer term. I do think he has improved as an all-round player in recent weeks and recent months, but there's other Chelsea assets I like more. That I think are better value, and I don't see myself tripling up on Chelsea until there is a double game week. So for that reason, Jack, and again, the scars are still there from the start of the season, so I'm not prepared to go back there just yet. Okay.
And now we're into curveball territory. Welbeck at Brighton, once again, I would imagine for a double game week, just that solitary goal and a couple of assists. But he has, you know, he's only 5.7. You know, I'm tempted in a double game week, but probably not outside of that. Same with Morris at Luton. I did get him in for a double game. Did I get him for a double game? No, I didn't. But many people did get him in for a double game week. Just the 2 goals there. Plays for Luton. He's a striker for Luton. But Luton do score. Morris is there. Next name, Fofana. People in the live chat wondering why he's got blank. And that is because he plays Chelsea, which is his parent club. So he actually only has 2 fixtures. So I would imagine that's going to count him out for you and a number of other people. So do be wary of that. those thinking getting Fofana in. He's not playing the next game. And last name we will dwell on, Isak, 7.5. West Ham and Everton at home, Newcastle better at home, 4 goals. He's clinical. He's all about goals. He's not about assists. Yeah. Are you tempted by him?
I am very tempted by Isak. He's one of my top targets, and it's that whole how do you fit him in when there's Darwin's, Haaland's, Muniz, Watkins and Solanke's in the world. But again, I really like him as a player. I really like fixtures for Newcastle attackers. And again, going game week 30, wild card instead of 31, I like the home fixture against West Ham. I think it's the first game of the game week. And again, Wilson's out long term. We might not see him again this season. So there's no concerns about Isak unless his own injury issues occur again, which is, of course, a slight concern, especially when 30 and 31 is a very short turnaround. You know, he's only going to have 2 or 3 days. So that's a little bit of a concern. But I'm hoping now that he's just back to full fitness. He's got 2 weeks and that he'll be fine. So he is definitely in the conversation, and he's got a very good chance of being in my front three.
Okay. Well, I think it's time to have a look at your wildcard bus team. Just before we do that, it's worth noting that you have the luxury of 2 weeks to tinker and have a look at your wildcard team. If you are wildcarding in game week 31, you've got a couple of days, basically, because this midweek, it's a Tuesday deadline, and then game week 32 is at the weekend as well. So you've got very limited time. If you do it afterwards, you've got the luxury here of a couple of weeks. If you think you're going to make lots of money in the market, forget those dreams, because already it says no price changes today, and I think we're going to see that a lot. Those times are gone. People have already loaded up on their money. There'll be a lot of movement, but yeah. But anyway, let's have a look at your team.
Yeah, it was funny. I didn't activate on Saturday when I probably should have. I should have got Muniz in at 4.5. He's gone up to 4.6. But I activated on Sunday. And then today, Monday morning, first thing I did when I woke up, after having my Weetabix, I checked the price changes and absolutely nothing. No rises, no falls. And I'm thinking, right, there is no cash to be made here.
No, that's going to continue. There'll be a bit of a flow of activity, as we near the deadline. But yeah. We're going to see a lot of no price changes. You got lots of money in the bank. So do you want to run through your wild card draft at the moment? And bearing in mind those listening and can't work out all the sums of money involved, there's 4.4 remaining in the bank with this team. So do you want to run through your team and your reasons why you're going for these players?
Yeah, and what I'll say first is this is very much a first draft, a 10-minute first draft. And I'm not going to change it until second half of next week, because there's no point. We could get fixture news, there could be injuries, all that kind of stuff. So if you're a wild card like myself, don't tinker every day is my advice, because you'll drive yourself crazy. You'll have every player at some point, and then there will be regret. So there's 4.4 in the bank because there's no Erling Haaland in the first draft, and that will be a big decision to be made. So up front, it is Darwin Nunez, Alexander Isak, and Muniz. So a very cheap front three. The goalkeepers, I haven't changed yet. I've got David Raya and I've got Areola. And again, that's not going to be a straightforward position. Double game weeks and all that kind of stuff will probably play a part, because bench boost is still available. Question will be, do I keep Raya or do I go elsewhere? Areola might survive just because he's cheap and he's decent. Defensively, Gabriel is very likely to stay from Arsenal. Pedro Porro, I think, will stay, but maybe only short term. Mal Augusto, almost certainly going to come in at 4.2 with Chelsea's good fixtures. I've put Bradley in from Liverpool for now because he was closest player to a price rise, and he might be useful 30 and 31 if Trent is still out. Ake's in there. Again, that's a position that could have 10, 15 different names, so just in there as a placeholder for now. And the midfield is expensive. It's Salah, Son, Saka. Phil Foden is still there for now, and Cole Palmer. So a heavy midfield and a cheaper strike force. So there is obviously a lot of decisions to be made on this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, so my team will have Salah, Palmer, Saka and Son, but Garnacho instead of Foden, but it does have Haaland. So that's the immediate decision, is you want a piece of Man City attack, Kevin De Bruyne, it looks like he's injured again, and it looks like whatever he's got, he's going to be continue having limited game time. So it's really Haaland v Foden. I guess you have to have Foden if you're going Haalandless. I mean, you wouldn't want to go into sort of game week 31 against Villa with no Man City attack, I presume.
Yeah, I think it makes very little sense to have zero attacking picks from Man City. Again, I want to try and keep this simple as well over the next couple of weeks, is just target those top teams that are fighting for the title and get as many of them as I can. And, you know, that might swing it back in Haaland's favour. Mm. But again, on the flip side, De Bruyne having more issues for me is another negative for Haaland, you know, the creativity that Kevin De Bruyne brings for him.
Yeah.
So I think it's very likely I will have either Foden or Haaland. Small chance I have both, but I think it's either or. Okay. And you mentioned Garnacho there. Mm. I watched the highlights from the FA Cup game again. You know, very, very impressive, involved in quite a few of the goals. It might come down to Muniz versus Garnacho again for me for the eighth attacker.
Yeah, so if you if you didn't have Foden but you wanted Haaland, then realistically one of Darwin or Isak has to go. And they both look good, as you said, for favourable for form and fixtures. Because at the moment, with 4.4 in the bank and downgrading Foden to Garnacho, that's instantly the price of Haaland, give or take a little bit. So that is definitely a decision that I would have if I was wildcarding now. The other thing I was going to say about Pedro Porro. Now, I've been a big advocate of Pedro Porro all season. But on my free hit team, I went for a doggy over Pedro Porro, because just noticing he was getting a bit more advanced. And so it played out. One of the potential goals that Spurs could have scored was a Maddison, I think it was off the post, but very close to scoring off the post, but the assist would have been a doggy. So as a free hitter with Maddison and a doggy, that was, so I was listening to that in the car, and that was wow, that could have been a moment for my team there. So I think you can save a half a million or so instantly with a doggy over Pedro, I think. And I didn't have any, as a big advocate of Porro, I didn't have any qualms about going for the cheaper guy over him.
Yeah, I don't have any fear about losing Pedro Porro. He's not the FPL asset he was in the first half of the season. I guess just looking around at alternatives and other teams and stuff, there's just not a huge amount of attractive defenders out there. Maybe could, you know, a Trippier or something like that, but, you know, a fixtures pick, but the underlying numbers haven't been good, etc. Or maybe a cheaper Newcastle defender like a Fabian Scher or a Botman. But when I, again, looking at the fixtures for Pedro Porro, if I do keep him, it's probably short term for Luton, West Ham, Nottingham Forest. And then when we get to game week 33, Porro could be a transfer out because he runs into Newcastle. Then I think it's Man City or Chelsea in 34, and then Arsenal and Liverpool. So Tottenham have a really tricky run, and, you know, certainly don't want any defenders at that point. So if Porro does survive, then it's probably for three game weeks, and then he probably goes out for someone else.
Yeah, one of the players I do like on here, which is one of the cheapest, Gusto, 4.2, and he's so handy for Chelsea when they get a double game week, because it does give you that bench boost option, and he's just handy anyway. He's got assist threat in him. And he's just the sort of player that a non-wildcarder like me, I'm never going to get round to him. The only way I'm going to get Gusto is on a wild card. I'm never going to think, ooh, I really must swap my 4.5 defender for 4.21. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, Gusto, one of the first names on my wild card when I press the button. You know, Burnley this week, Sheffield United 32, handy for doubles, handy for a bench boost whenever that is. So, yeah, just an easy pick, just a very good player and currently doesn't have, you know, any Reece James threat breathing down his neck.
Bradley, you might get a bit of rotation threat there from Bradley, but I suppose that all depends on when Alexander-Arnold's back. He should be back after the international break. So is that a place that you're a little concerned about? You might essentially have a player that might just get sub-appearances?
Bradley probably won't be in the final draft. Again, he went in there because he was close to a price rise Sunday night. He's very unlikely to get, you know, two price rises during the break. Mm-hmm. But that's the only reason, because if I'm wildcarding now and I still have the bench boost available, while right now players like Bradley and Kelleher might look attractive, they're no good to you in a couple of weeks' time whenever the bench boost is played. So when it comes to Liverpool, Salah's number one. I think Darwin's probably number two. Mm. And I might even just leave the third spot open for a transfer later.
Yeah.
So I don't think Bradley will make the final cut.
No, I think the last Liverpool double game week, one of my regrets was not going for someone like Diaz, who is very handy in a double game week for Liverpool, gets attacking returns. Not the sort of player you want all the time, but he's a player, if Liverpool are getting a double game week, he's that sort of player that can get you like a goal and an assist, can get you like a nice double-digit return there. So, yeah, I would want to keep that place open. I've got Kelleher at the moment. There was a question in the live chat. Oh, that's a reminder. In the live chat, do leave your questions because we'll have a bit of time just to answer your questions. I'll put some questions to Mark. Particularly, we'll leave his wildcard team up as well so you can ask questions about that. But one of the questions was around how about Kelleher and Ortega? And so these are the sub keepers, very cheap, playing for great teams. My feeling is they're the players you wildcard from because chances are Edison and Alisson will be back at some point.
Yeah, if I didn't have a bench boost available, I'd be more open to getting one of them. I probably wouldn't go both because if you go both, you're going to end up without a goalkeeper very likely at some point, okay. Unless there's a unforeseen season-ending injury there for one of those guys, which we don't think is the case. So if you don't have a bench boost, one of them I think is fine. Mm-hmm. If you are wildcarding and you have a bench boost to play, you know, you want two fixtures from your two goalkeepers when you bench boost. I think the second goalkeeper is arguably the most important position on a bench boost to get the two fixtures. You're hoping for saves, maybe a lucky penalty save. So yeah, I think it's best to avoid those two unless it's very short term.
Yeah, I mean, when I do team news with Neil, there hasn't been much about Alisson, and the indication is just long term, so we might not see him for a while. If Liverpool double in 34. That's good for who's I mean with Kelleher in, but yeah, if he's looking like he's back for then, yeah, it's just a dud player. And similar with Ortega, I think with Edison, I don't think it's as serious as Alisson, so I think he should be.
And back. Again, I've got a very loose, flexible plan of free hit 34. Mm. If Kelleher is going to play both games, it's a very easy pick on a free hit.
Okay. Just can those in the live chat put some questions in and we'll try and get to those. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to read out your team again, Mark, just for the benefit of those listening to podcast versions. As someone who listens to lots of podcasts myself, when people reveal their teams and things, I always have to stop it and pause and go back and think, who did they get in again? What was? And anyway, so the team is 4.4 in the bank. It's Raya and Areola in goal. Gabriel, Gusto, Ake, Porro and Bradley, Salah, Foden, Palmer, Saka and Son are the midfielders, and then in attack, Darwin, Munez and Isak. So there are eight attackers there and you've got to bench an attacker each week of those there. Okay, we'll get to the live chat then. JT, is there any point in planning without knowing the game week 34 fixtures? Good point. Yeah, what are you sort of hoping for in game week 34?
Yeah, it's a good point because the answer is no. There's no point doing much, and that's my plan. I'm still planning to have a nice, quiet, restful international break, and my tinkering won't really gear up until later. You know, later in the second week of the break. Mm-hmm. By then, we should have information according to the fixture predictors, but should is not will. So I don't really mind whether we do or we don't get it. I mean, the optimal way to play FPL, that famous word optimal, is waiting for this fixture information and then wildcarding when you have it. But I just don't really mind too much. I'm not overly concerned about where my rank finishes at the end of the season, whether it's, you know, better or worse than it is now. I just want to enjoy the season. And I want to have a good game week 30. And, you know, I've had a lot of red arrows recently, been taking loads of hits, and I want to just clean things up, start again, and enjoy the last nine games of the season. So, yeah, we could do with the information, and obviously part of me wants the information, but part of me also doesn't want it, because I think if we get the information this week or next week, a lot more people will probably join me on the wildcard then, because they'll have what they need. Whereas if we don't have confirmation, then more will wait until 31, and I want those I won all those points and gave me 30 for myself to try and get a bit of an edge there. So again, I'm just easy. I don't mind what happens with fixture announcements.
Got some other names for you to consider. Cheap player, Robinson from Fulham. Fulham do have good fixtures. Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest, Newcastle, West Ham. Robinson, I mean, when I was listening to the commentary, his name was featured a lot. He seems to be very involved.
Very good player, Robinson. I expect him to move on to a bigger club. Apologies, Fulham fans, if you're listening, but you know yourself, he's a very good player. The thing, I think I'm right in saying that Fulham are unlikely to have any doubles. So again, with a bench boost available, I'm going to be trying to get as many doublers as I can whenever I do play that chip, which is probably 37. I think Fulham plays City in 37. So straight away, that kind of puts me off. And I don't really associate Fulham with clean sheets anyway. I know they just got one against Tottenham, but yeah, I think there's better options elsewhere.
Okay. Ben White, specifically, says Lewis, over Porro, and that would mean taking Rare out so you can get another goalkeeper. But instead of Porro, go for Ben White, who I know when I do goals imminent with Tom, I always wonder why Tom's getting points from his defence, because he's got Ben White for the last few weeks, who keeps getting, he's in no teams, and he keeps getting really good scores.
Yeah, I quite like the Ben White shirt. Mm-hmm. I've been on Raya Gabriel since the Game Week 20 wildcard, and I don't love having the Arsenal goalkeeper, to be honest, because at 6 points at most, you know, he very rarely gets bonus. I think he's only got more than 6 points twice this season. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I could do better in the goalkeeper position. So I prefer two Arsenal defenders rather than defender and goalkeeper. And again, thinking about bench boost in the future, then, you know, I want a goalkeeper with two fixtures. So, I mean, that could be Raya at some point, but I think I'm going to move away from David Raya. So that does open the door for a Ben White.
Okay. FPL Big Head is considering wildcarding, but another option is just to use some transfers. He particularly wants to get Salah in. He's willing to go up to a -8 to get Salah in and some handy enablers. What would you do in that position? What's the sort of threshold for wildcarding? You know, if you're starting to get to a -8, do you think, well, I might as well wildcard?
I think if you're going to wildcard in 31 anyway, I wouldn't be taking a -8 the week before. I would probably just pull the trigger on the wildcard. And yeah, you know, if we don't have the information, it might feel a bit odd to do so. But I think no matter what happens with fixtures, we'll be able to navigate it. You know, we do have free transfers. You know, some people have a free hit left. So yeah, it's not straightforward. And of course, without seeing the team, it's hard to answer. You know, I've just got to the point where I don't like my team anymore. Mm. You know, 3 Luton, Kudus and Bowen were just free hit picks. Ivan Toney hasn't done much. So yeah, I want a fresh start.
Yeah. I mean, I often find out with my wild cards, it's exactly that phrase. I don't like my team. I want to change it. I'm okay with my team at the moment, but yeah, with lots of wild cards around and lots of different players in the teams and me missing out, I might suddenly not like it. Kaya says, who does he sell KDB for? He hasn't got Saka, Son, Foden or Mbomo as well. There's another name in the mix. I guess Saka or Son would be my priorities there. Probably Son, because he's got a Luton at home, game week 30. But yeah, what would you think?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I put Son top of the list at the moment. I know he just blanked, but I've always got faith in Tottenham to score goals. And I think that was the first time in about 40-odd games where they hadn't scored in a Premier League game. So the record has come to an end. It's short-term Son because the next 3 fixtures are great. And then you could possibly look to jump off to one of the other names mentioned. Just on Mbeumo as well, kind of totally forgot about him. I know he's back in training now and going to be available.
He was a sub.
Back playing. You know, he was great at the start of the season, but Ivan Toney wasn't there. So, you know, Toney will have the penalties and Mbeumo won't. At least that's what we expect. So I don't like Mbeumo as much as I did at the start of the season. I avoided him then and it hurt. And I'm probably going to do the same again.
Okay. Evan Chowdhury's got a plan for his team. It's not really a question, but it's good to outline it. He's looking to play his free hit in 34 if Liverpool at Arsenal double, because he doesn't own a lot of them at the moment. And then wildcard afterwards for a bench boost in 37. And that will not feature in the Arsenal if they don't double. So that does, that sounds like a pretty good plan to me.
Yeah, I like that as well. I like the bench boost closer to the wildcard. Yeah. So I think a 35 wild card, 37 bench boost sounds great. Mm. And you should, I know nothing's guaranteed in FPL, but I feel like if you wild card 35, bench boost 37, good chance you'll get four green arrows to finish the season, which is quite attractive. So that's the beauty of the game at the moment. Mm. There's lots of different ways to play it, and I do like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's my, bit of mine, because I've just used my free hit. Wildcard 35 and then bench boost 37. I do like that proximity of that, those two chips together. But yeah, no free hit 34, so I'll have to use transfers for that. So that's the downside of that. But yeah, so yeah, those who've preserved their free hit and their wildcard with and their bench boost with that plan, I think Evan should do very well there.
Just on those chips as well, Joe, you know, everything's if at the moment. Mm. And if things don't shake out the way we expect them to, and let's say we get fixture information this week and 34 is a lot smaller than what it looks right now, then I'm completely flexible. You know, I could look to, you know, flip it, you know, bench boost 34 instead, free hit 37. So everything's on the table. I'm even open to bench boost in a single game week. Yeah. And I'm going to have, when I'm building my 30 wildcard next week, I'm going to look at 31, 32, 33, just to see if there's a viable single game week bench boost in there, and then, you know, play with 11 basically for the rest of the season. So everything's still on the table here.
Okay. Abdullah asked whether you've considered Havertz as a player in that sort of Ben White mold, in that he's scoring, doing well in FPL, but no one owns him.
Havertz is a very good example of a player where I think a lot of managers like myself, if you completely write off a player as an FPL asset for, you know, a couple of years, it's very hard to shake that off and go back there. But if you, you know, I always think if you're an alien, you came down from space and this was your first FPL season, Havertz would be in your team right now. And I think that's the way we need to think about him. So again, going back to losing David Raya, it frees up a Ben White option. It also frees up a Kai Havertz option. So yeah, he will be under consideration.
Matthew points out that among the predictions are that Wolves and Bournemouth could double in game week 34. And if that was the case, we're probably going to know about it before the game week 30 deadline. So that, would that switch you to think, well, I could put Solanke in, I could put Neto in, I could put Ait Nouri in, could put any of the Wolves attackers, if any of them are fit?
Yeah, that would obviously have an impact. Mm. It would just come down to whether I think I'd rather have them on a free hit in 34, or do I want to load up on these teams again? You know, I'm quite reluctant to go back to, you know, two or three Bournemouth players. We've seen what happened recently with that. And even with Wolves, I'm not overly keen because they're missing so many of the key guys. I know Ait Nouri's looked really good. He attack and returns again in the FA Cup. But yeah, I find it hard to get excited about those teams.
Yeah. Petrovic in goal with Chelsea's two doubles. Obviously, Chelsea over-invested in Brighton's second string team again. And Petrovic is now their top keeper, not Sanchez. So would you go for Petrovic, perhaps?
He will be under consideration as well. I just always have this thing when there is another decent goalkeeper there that you never know what could happen. I think Sanchez played the FA Cup game. I do think Petrovic is pretty safe as first choice at the moment. But if I don't end up wildcard until 37... is there a chance that Sanchez is in goal at that point? And there's always a small chance of that. So for that reason, I'll have Gusto, I'll have Cole Palmer, and I think I'd rather keep the third spot open for something more exciting, maybe as a striker or another midfielder. So I don't think he'll make the cut either.
A compliment from Knife, I think. Much improved on delivery and interruptions, as in lack of them, boys. Okay, I didn't realise we were... so poor with our delivery and interrupted each other all the time anyway. But apologies if we did that. Obviously, it's good that we're not doing it now.
the training course is working, Joe.
Yeah, it's getting there. I might make the next one and be even better. Cam, can you ask... Cam's still talking about Petrovic. We've already come to that. He's asked that question a lot. Knife also asked, Saka has Luton at home in game week 31 as well. Yeah, so that's the Saka. So Saka's in your team. For those wanting to get Salah, Son, keep Haaland, Saka might be a sacrifice. But would you say that Saka could be sacrificed?
I'm going to find it very hard to sacrifice him when he does have Luton and even Brighton the week after. You know, I really like both of those games for Bukayo Saka. I think he's He's going to be in my captaincy matrix for game week 31. And I know a lot of people are saying, you know, they're not really looking forward to having players in the Arsenal-Man City fixture, even in game week 30. But, I mean, players are still going to score points in that game. And, you know, players like Saka and Foden and Haaland can all score points. It's not a guaranteed 0-0 game. So Saka, if I keep him, you know, I'll start him. I say I keep him. I actually did sell him for 29. I'll be bringing him back in. But, yeah, I think I'm going to find it very hard to go without.
Okay. There's a couple of more sort of questions here, but I don't know if we can answer them, so we might not. But Soria Ghosh, do the best goalkeeping options for people with a bench boost? That's just too difficult to answer without knowing who is playing in those. But yes, if you've got a bench boost, the ideal is to make sure you time it right and you've got two players that are doubling. So first port call, look at the fixtures, look at how many have played, and those with fixtures remaining, as in are going to get a double game week somewhere, at least go with them. So don't get a goalkeeper that's, you know, fine, is not going to double. That would be my advice for that.
Yeah, that's what I do sometimes. I keep it very simple. I look at the Premier League table, which teams have played less games, and you know, target those teams.
Yeah, definitely. So that is a good one, but it's impossible to say which two, unfortunately. But we should know by the end of this international break, hopefully. Cam is asking, isn't Foden a minutes risk during Champions League? I mean, obviously, yes, all Man City players are a minutes risk, Haaland included.
Yeah, and I mean, Foden, I think he's arguably City's most important attacker these days. De Bruyne has got injury issues. Yeah, I'm not concerned about Foden at all. If I ditch him, it won't be because of fear of rotation.
Yep. Cam, another question from Cam. But Virgil van Dijk is a good pick over Bradley, he says. Yeah, but you have to pay for it. He's a couple of million more. I had Virgil van Dijk in my team before the double. And so around that, for a good few fixtures around that, and recently got rid of him so that I can get some money to get Salah in. So that's the thing you've got to look at with getting Van Dijk. He will cost a more expensive attacking player. But I agree, he did really well for me. Got me a nice goal. So yeah, he's a good player.
He will be on the wildcard watch list. I like him as a differential more than anything, because very few people go there for a good reason. Because again, you go back to that draft I've put together. If you throw a Van Dijk in there instead of even a Poro or something, you know, it's probably about an extra million quid, and it's quite hard to justify doing so. So again, Salah, Darwin, and probably leave the third spot open. And if it falls that Liverpool have the double in 34, and that's when I free hit Van Dijk, I missed his goal in the last double. I'm not gonna miss it again.
Martin, Lord Waghorn, question to the panel. How come you wet wipes are doing a team selection today when we have 2 weeks to the next fixtures? Well, I mean, you're here alongside hundreds of other FPL managers. So you're essentially saying to FPL managers, there's 10 million of us, by the way, don't think about anything. Don't look at it. Don't even consider your team. That's not what we're about.
I love that we're getting called a wet wipe by someone who's watching wet wipes. I mean, who's the real wet wipe there?
Wow. Wet wipes watching the wet wipes. Maybe we should call that. That could be a new new themed video. Is it worth -4 to sell Bowen for Saka and KDB to Son? I'm going to say yes. They're two good players for two. One okay player and one probable rotation risk player.
Yeah, and I don't love the Newcastle fixture for Jared Bowen either. Yeah. I know they haven't been great defensively, but I would fancy a performance from Newcastle. Yeah, that's for me. That's the kind of -4 that I'll probably give the green light to.
Greg in the live chat is pointing also to Martin Lord Waghorn of why is he watching then? Yes, does answer the question really. There's interest. That's why. Lewis is in the live chat saying Forrest have been docked 4 points. I cannot verify that. Because we're doing this stream at the moment, so I don't have any news around that. But that would obviously have big implications at the bottom of the table if it's true. Would you
looks say... like that's looks like that's confirmed.
Okay, so well done, Lewis, for letting us know about that. Would you sell Rashford? Oh, wow, that's incredible. Would you sell Rashford for Son? Okay, well, they're different. I'm just amazed that someone's got Rashford, but he has actually been getting okay. He always looks disappointing as a player to own, but he is actually getting returns. But would I sell? I'm going to just say yes. Son is better than Rashford.
Yeah, Son's better than Rashford FPL-wise. Rashford did look good against Liverpool. He should have had more than just one goal. He wasted one in particular very good 1v1 chance. So, like him as a differential, but I like Son more.
Okay. I mean, oh, yeah. Just a reminder, really. I know you did explain it on your wildcard, but Abdullah asked, because a lot of people will be in a similar position, how will you get Haaland back if you change your mind? So if before your wildcard ends, you know, before game week 30 deadline, you think, right, I've got to have Haaland in, what do you do?
Yeah, it's probably something along the lines of Foden or Saka drop out, then Isak or Darwin become Haaland. And, you know, maybe Pedro Porro needs to downgrade as well, just in terms of cash. But yeah, it's not too hard to get him back in. So I think that will be my biggest decision. Do I be brave and go without him, or do I, you know, stick with the crowd and just leave him in there?
Okay. Thanks a lot for your time and answering those questions there. Thanks a lot, everyone who's been leaving your questions in the live chat as well. I'm sorry any we didn't get to. I think we've covered most subjects as well. But obviously we've got 2 weeks to decide. Lots of information is going to come, so I'm sure Mark's wildcard team will change. But it's really good. It's certainly good for me, who hasn't really thought about FPL much over this weekend, to suddenly think about FPL again. And I'm proud to be a wet wipe and consider FPL. Mark, good luck with the wild card. Good luck with Game Week 30. See you soon.
Cheers, Joe.